Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a Rye report on the Conservative Conclave, CPAC, that just concluded in Washington with a keynote speech last night by Sarah Palin. Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief Adele Stan joins us. She has an article at Alternet, Occupy Protesters Mic Check Palin During CPAC Speech. We will discuss the civil war within Republican ranks as Mitt Romney desperately defends his conservative credentials while Rick Santorum assails the party establishment for backing a moderate. Then Mary Duziak joins us in studio. She is a professor of law, history, and political science at the University of Southern California and the author of a new book just out, War Time, An Idea, Its History, Its Consequences. Since the United States has been engaged in constant arms conflict for over a century and has a permanent war economy, Mary Duziak's inventive meditation on war, time, and the law offers a welcome and important insight into our politics of war. Then finally, we'll be joined by Thomas Frank, the author of the new book, Pity the Billionaire, The Hard Time Swindle and the Unlikely Comeback of the Right, which examines how the worst economy since the 1930s that crashed under George W. Bush brought about a revival of conservatism. And joining us now is Adele Stan, who is Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief and also writes for the AFL-CIO Now blog. Her latest article at Alternet is Occupy Protesters Mic Check Palin During CPAC Speech. Welcome to Background Briefing, Adele Stan.
Thanks so much for having me, Ian.
And describe, if you will, what happened with Sarah Palin's keynote speech. There apparently a handful of Occupy protesters who actually had to pay to get in got in there and did a mic check.
They did. They did a mic check. Sarah Palin was just about to launch into her diatribe against President Barack Obama. And they mic checked her, but there was only, you know, a smallish throng of them, 25 or so, probably fewer, amid an audience of some 4,000. So they do their mic check, you know, which is a call and response. A leader shouts mic check, and the followers, well, they wouldn't describe themselves that way, but their allies respond mic check. And before they could even issue whatever statement they were about to make, the entire room, thousands of people, start chanting in unison, USA, USA. And the sense of rage among the audience was really palpable, to the point where the police who were escorting the occupiers out seemed to be acting more as protectors than
evictors.
Yes, exactly.
So apparently the occupiers on the outside at the Marriott Hotel, which, by the way, is a Mormon company, just a little factoid there, they were apparently shouting, racist, sexist, anti-gay, right-wing bigots, go away. And that apparently infuriated Andrew Breitbart to the point where he started to scream at them. This video is available online. You freaks and animals, stop raping the people. A weird sexual reference from a conclave that was replete with sexual references and an undertone of sexual repression, at least to my mind.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's right. Ann Coulter notably addressed the conference with all manner of references to the sexuality of Democratic males, including references to ejaculations. And
yes, apparently Bill Clinton is sort of spraying his sperm hither and yon, right? I mean, they have to issue protective clothing whenever he's traveling or wherever he's showing up. I mean, that was her reference several times to it. And, of course, Rick Santorum is all about sexual repression, isn't he?
Yes, and you know, and beyond sexual repression, fecundity. You know, he does not believe in birth control. He did not say that from the CPAC stage, however, because you have in their midst a number of libertarians who have...
Well, he didn't have to, Adele. He had six kids standing behind him.
That's exactly right. And, you know, much of this Republican contest has had those sorts of visuals. And I did an article last week called Knocked Up, the Republican Plan for American Women. But, you know, back in the day when I was first covering the disputes within the Roman Catholic Church over birth control, abortion, all of these things, well, we used to refer to them, pardon me, as the pelvic issues. And I think that we have a Republican Party that is becoming increasingly more obsessed with the pelvic issues. And, you know, much of this is simply about, you know, maintaining power by the white men who have, you know, held power not only in this country but in the Republican Party for a very long time. And, you know, when you're talking about making birth control difficult for women to get, I mean, you're really talking about seizing power from women at the detriment of society. I mean, studies show that women who have control of their own fertility, the society itself is much more prosperous.
Again, I'm speaking with Adele Stan, who is Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief, and she also has an article at Alternet, Occupy Protesters Mic Check Palin During CPAC Speech. And we're talking about the just-concluded CPAC event in Washington, D.C. that got unprecedented coverage this year. It was all over cable news. And Coulter's speech, again, just to reiterate the strong kind of sexual undertones of what she was saying, and I'm trying to figure out what the appeal is there amongst conservatives. She made the case, or the point, I guess, that the reason that the Democrats are in favor of birth control is because of Bill Clinton, Dominic Strauss-Kahn, and Anthony Weiner. So, go figure.
Yes, she's saying it's all just to serve their needs, never mind the needs of women. And of course, you know, what made this such a huge theme, not that it hasn't been quite an emerging theme throughout the campaign, but it was this past week the consternation over Health and Human Services rules that would have compelled institutions, including Roman Catholic institutions such as hospitals and universities, to, if they offer employee health care plans, include the coverage of health, of contraception in those plans. So that kind of fed a big theme that's been taking place in the GOP that's driven by the religious right, that Barack Obama is this sinister secularist who is making war on religion. Of course, that's a false accusation, but that is the fear-mongering that is underlying it.
Romney won the straw poll, and he seems to, but Santorum's speech was all about, you know, railing against the establishment for foisting a moderate on the party faithful. Sarah Palin, in her keynote speech, did make a reference to Romney in that regard. Our candidate must be someone who must instinctively turn right. It's too late to teach it or spin it at this point. But on the other hand, she called for unity. So, what's the mixed message there?
Well, indeed, mixed message would be the operative phrase. I think that what you see going on and what I felt was going on at CPAC, Ian, was that, you know, they're torn by these two competing notions, which is that they really want what they call true conservative, not somebody who is late to the cause like Romney and doesn't even quite get the language of the conservative movement. He referred to himself as having been a severely conservative governor. And, you know, we may look at conservatism as it's constituted now as really right-wing ideology and see severity, but that's not really how these folks see themselves. And so what's going on here is that they really would like a conservative or right-wing standard bearer. However, they really, 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 really want to beat Barack Obama. And they and their cause célèbre, of course, is the repeal of the health care reform law that was passed in 2010. So, you know, they know, I think they're beginning to come to the realization that a right-wing standard bearer such as, you know, as Rick Santorum would be, who's against birth control and who has made ridiculous statements about gay people, and he's not going to be, he's not going to play well in those suburban swing districts that one needs in order to win the presidency. So I think there's a sense that, well, Romney has swung around far enough to their positions that they can sort of hold their noses and vote for him. But interestingly, you know, concurrent with the straw poll, the American Conservative Union, which hosts that conference, did a national poll among conservatives, you know, self-defined conservatives. And in that poll, Romney was neck and neck with Santorum, as opposed to the straw poll, which, by the way, Rick Santorum accuses Romney of having bought.
Well, Ron Paul accuses Romney of having, and the main Republican Party, for having rigged the results in Romney's favor. He narrowly won in the caucuses there in Maine, where he won narrowly, but an important Ron Paul caucus in Washington apparently was snowed in or something and wasn't counted, and Paul still thinks that he will win at the end of the day. I don't know whether there's any shenanigans there. I mean, the Iowa thing was pretty suspicious, wasn't it, that Romney won and then it turned out he didn't win?
Well, you know, caucuses are funny things, and, you know, first of all, you're talking about these small-scale operations that are run by the local political party, so I imagine there probably is room for all sorts of things to happen, but honestly, we don't know. I mean, there really could be, because the vote counts are so close. I mean, Romney only edged out Ron Paul by yesterday's results by 190-something votes, I think 194. And if you do a second count of ballots, a lot of times in these caucuses, I don't know how Maine does it, but, you know, these are handwritten ballots and whatnot, you know, you wind up with a different result. So it's very hard to say whether it's shenanigans or just, you know, I mean, these folks who are doing these are, you know, they're not elections experts, they're amateurs. So it's very, very hard to know for sure. I mean, in Maine, you know, that caucus result is based on 6,000 votes. I mean, at CPAC, the poll, the CPAC straw poll, the one inside the room, I mean, was like 3,400 votes. So, you know, it's a very tiny contest.
Right. It's almost not much better than Dancing with the Stars, I guess.
Yeah, you definitely would have many more votes than Dancing with the Stars.
Well, that one's clearly rigged. I mean, I don't know whether you saw Sarah Palin's daughter flopping about on stage like a wounded seal, you know. But anyway, I digress. You witnessed some of the anger from not just Breitbart, from Dana Loesch, who's the editor of Breitbart's bigjournalism.com, the right-wing site that uses the word journalism rather recklessly and inaccurately. But anyway, they're making a anti-Occupy propaganda film, apparently, which is going to be distributed by Citizens United, the very group that brought about the Supreme Court change that's allowing super PACs and the wholesale buying of our elections by a handful of plutocrats. Nobody sees that as an irony, that these right-wing propagandists are making a film for the phony group that set up Citizens United. And by the way, the guy that runs Citizens United used to work for a congressman who's just quitting, who had conducted the hearings into Bill Clinton's friend Webb Hubble, the hapless would-be attorney general, whose prison conversations were taped. And this guy that's formed Citizens United manipulated the tapes to make what he was saying incriminating. And he eventually had to be fired from the House congressional staff for deceptive practices. And Breitbart's been involved with selectively editing transcripts and tapes in order to incriminate people. I guess, you know, who am I to judge? Nobody seems to care. Is that the problem?
I think that Citizens United is an organization that has flown under the radar of progressive scrutiny for some time, which is surprising given its role in, I mean, everybody talks about the Supreme Court decision that was decided in their favor and by the shorthand of the name of the group, but nobody seems to quite understand what the group is. And Citizens United is really a very powerful group, but the media that they produce, much of it is not media that you know, the general public sees. It's used as organizing material on the right. And, I mean, in the 2010 elections, I mean, they issued 3 feature-length films that were, you know, propaganda films that were used as organizing tools. They have a lot of money. These films are produced with very high production values. They commission original scores. They have spent as much as $600,000 on a single film. I mean, you know, Robert Greenwald of Brave New Films would just salivate to have that kind of money to produce a film. So they've escaped notice. And I suspect this piece of propaganda will be, really quite a thing. I think that, the director, Steve Bannon, who also directed the film about Sarah Palin called The Undefeated.
Did he do Hillary the movie as well, which was the original source of the Supreme Court case, Citizens United?
I don't know if he directed the film about Hillary Clinton, did he?
I don't know. That was the test case.
But that was a Citizens United case, yes.
Right.
But, you know, he was saying this is going to be crafted as a war film. That was what he was saying. That is exactly what he was saying. And they showed a trailer of it, and, of course, you know, they cherry-pick selective incidents that are really the actions of people who are not in concert with the Occupy message of nonviolence, you know.
Right, the black bloc types. And
right.
I'm sure they go out of their way to portray everybody that they only focus on people who haven't shaved and look like hippies, right?
Well, of course, and also the bad actors who infiltrated, you know, in Zuccotti Park, you know, people who are just sort of vagrants and criminals and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the focus will be. It won't be on the very, clean-cut college students who were the occupiers who disrupted Sarah Palin's speech.
who paid $60. Actually, they got a student discount, according to your article, Adele.
Yes, well, you know, we have to acknowledge, of course, that the right has tons more money available to it to advance its ideology than the left. However, you know, this is something that they do really, really well. And, you know, if I decided to go to CPAC, not as a journalist, but, to pay registration, the cheapest registration I would be able to get as an adult person would be $195. The kids, these college students, as long as they show a college ID, get in those 3 days for $35. So what they do is that these conferences are packed with young people, and they have a lot of activities for them and a lot of instruction on how to become journalists, on how to affect the political process.
And how to date.
And how to date, right? But you know, all of that is saying, I say this with admiration, that they are looking beyond the current generation always, you know. The right always takes a very long view, and I despair that the institutional left, you know, does not do the same, does not make the same level of investment. And I think that this is, you know, I have a dream of taking, you know, left-wing donors just through the exhibition hall of CPAC and saying, okay, like, this is what we're up against.
Well, Adele, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Ian. Always a pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Adele Stan, who is Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief, and she also writes for the AFL-CIO Now blog. Her latest article at Alternet is Occupy Protesters Mic Check Palin During CPAC Speech. And we're going to take a brief station break now and be back talking with the author of War Time.
A Catholic, the moment that came, because every sperm is sacred, every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred.